putting a skip in your step in your holiday shopping experience with Rosie on the house. I've said it a couple times today. I hope your next Christmas holiday week is going to be half as good as ours at the Romeros, where we have all six children coming in town, all 12 grandchildren traveling from Minneapolis, Wickenburg, Portland, and Tbilisi, Georgia, on the border of Russia, coming in from all corners of the world to have Sweet Jennifer's, Miss Santa Claus's pumpkin roll-ups. One of the family favorites. We will be broadcasting next Saturday, Christmas Eve. We would like to share your particularly favorite family holiday memories and or traditions. You can give us a ring to share those with us at 1-888-767-4348 or email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. We'll be having a fun holiday broadcast next Saturday morning. But for today, you may have seen the headlines. It was just December 14th, just 3 days ago. Headlines, cover story, both in the Arizona Republic and the USA Today. 4 million Americans could be drinking toxic water, and that broken systems are trapping millions in areas with untreated or poisoned water. I couldn't let a headline like that go by without bringing in one of our water experts, and Dave Crisman from All About Water agreed to come in and talk people off the ledge. Dave, thanks for coming in and joining us.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, really do. Well, what do you take when you see, as a water expert, how do you interpret a headline like that?
Well, these are things that have been with us forever. It's not new. It's just the new part is being willing to let us be aware of it more often than not.
That's a scary thought.
Yes, it is. But the scary part is for the most part, we're not supposed to scare people.
Right.
And we're one of the, you know, few nations in the world that people just trust what comes out of the tap.
Yeah. Well, I've told people for years that, you know, in shopping for your water treatment equipment, if you've got somebody in your house telling you how dangerous the water is that you're drinking, you probably don't have the right company or the right person on your property to be buying from. That shouldn't be a big motivator for water treatment equipment at your house.
I agree with that. That's still a pretty good standard to follow.
Yeah, because what we are trying to do, and what is becoming a bigger and bigger component of water consumption, is what do they call it in the industry, Dave? It's final barrier.
Final barrier is just a term that has been appointed to. We're going to deal with water point of use, so that could be as easy as like at your kitchen. You've got a drinking water appliance there that may or may not address all these issues that you're concerned about, but that's what we're talking about when we're talking about final barrier.
So are the water companies now coming to the point? Because the water companies, the municipal water companies, you know, I've talked to all those guys, and I see the water they're bringing in, and I see the water they're processing, and I see the water they're delivering, and not very many of those people, those engineers, tend to have a lot of water treatment equipment at home because they're so confident of what they're sending down the line to the residents. But that's not to say we haven't had some problems.
Yeah, a number of years ago, one of those engineers had happened to say at a meeting we were at that if he couldn't smell chlorine coming out of when he went to take the water, he really didn't want to drink it. And it's not a result of what's going on at the water municipalities. They do a great job, whether it's Phoenix, Scottsdale, you know, Tempe, Mesa, you name it. It's pretty good, high-quality water as far as safeness is concerned. When you get into some of the smaller well groups and municipalities, they might have some issues and some problems, especially thinking about what we went through in the last decade economically and where monies come from and how infrastructures start to be neglected.
Some deferred maintenance, maybe?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say at the water municipality itself. Yeah. I'd say it has more to do with the distribution systems or breaks and mains, how these things get dealt with and that. So.
Well, one of the most – well, the closest encounter I've ever had with toxic water was on a vacation I took to Portland. And I want to say this was about 3 years ago. And I was there on a business meeting. I was staying at my favorite hotel in the whole country, the Heathman Hotel in downtown Portland. And I got up in the morning, and I was going to go down to the lobby, and I was going to have a cup of coffee and read my newspaper, and they weren't serving coffee. And I said, well, can I have a glass of water? Well, they weren't serving water. And I asked, well, what's going on? They say the entire city of Portland has declared all drinking water hazardous, and we cannot serve it to make coffee, to make tea, or serve it in water or even ice cubes. And at that moment, a filtered water company pulled up to the door of the Heathman and literally just started unloading hundreds of cases of water. And so I went back up to my room without a cup of coffee to watch the morning news. And I thought, well, I'll turn on the local news and see what's going on. And their water distribution system is maintained by open-air reservoirs. One of them became contaminated. And the news that morning was, we're going to have to drain this reservoir, decontaminate it. We're going to have to purge all the water lines. This could take months to fix. And this was on a Thursday morning.
Real comforting, huh?
Before I flew out on Sunday, they were saying, oh, it's all fixed. You can drink it now. It's okay.
Yeah, and
there's just, who's going to be the first one to take that first drink?
Well, the sad part about that is generally when you've heard about these alerts, people have become affected before that knowledge is put out there. And that's the way we live in this society. You know, most of the time, pretty darn safe, pretty well controlled. But it's real hard to control that infrastructure after it's left the water treatment plant.
And the water engineer you were talking about who said if he can't smell chlorine in his glass of water, he isn't going to drink it. Well, I tell you what, for a long time, I couldn't even smell the chlorine until we put a system on our house and took the chlorine out. And now every glass of water that's put in front of me that hasn't been at least RO'd,
yes,
to me, it's not desirable. It makes it a lot less palatable. I don't want to smell all that chlorine.
Yeah. And as you mentioned there, you know, you have an RO appliance. That's one appliance that's going to deal with water quality that you can drink it. No matter who the manufacturer is, almost all of them are going to be able to meet a standard that is acceptable by the EPA, NSF, those type of agencies that have set some standards. There are some microbiological, very few of them that meet the standard, but there's some out there that do, that you could do it without RO. But to get the minerals and the microbiological, you'd probably like a combination of the two.
Yeah, one of the first things we do with the water that comes in the house is removing the chlorine is we just send it through an activated carbon charcoal filter. That draws the chlorine out, right?
Correct. Chlorine is pretty simple to remove. Necessary to be there, but simple to remove at point of use.
So we remove the chlorine, and we dump it through two more layers of filters into a holding tank in the RO system underneath our kitchen sink. How long can that totally purified water sit there and still be safe to drink?
Well, it's a closed environment, so in theory, indefinitely, as long as everything is kind of maintained in a sanitary fashion. The ROs that have the encapsulated filters where there's very little exposure or none at filter change time would be most preferable, if you know. But sanitizing these systems is recommended. You know, we like to see it done on at least every two-year basis.
Well, let's talk about that, because right now we have a lot of winter residents that are coming in over the last 30 days that possibly that RO system could have been sitting there filled for 3, 4, 5, or 6 months. Are they free just to hit the little RO tap and drink straight out of that water that's been sitting there that long?
I believe so in a well-maintained RO.
Okay.
Generally speaking, on an annual filter change, a qualified tech will completely drain, repressurize, and possibly sanitize that RO tank if they have any indication that they need to.
And if you'd like to see that system get treated once a year, wouldn't now, when you're coming back within the first day or two, be the perfect time for that annual inspection?
Yes, that is correct. And most of the winter visitors that have those appliances, they come to that conclusion.
Come back and get it scheduled.
Yeah, we generally have another truck on the road during this three-month segment that the peak is there with winter visitors.
And you talk about sanitizing the system. Talk about what RO is. Talk about what those three hanging tubes are, those three hanging cartridges are depending on how many steps you have, but I think three is probably the most common.
Three is the most common. You can add more filters to it, yet it's just an additional expense, and you probably get the same quality water out the other end. But you have pretreatment, which is going to remove the sediment, the dirt, the turbidity in that, as well as chlorine. It'll be a carbon block filtration, usually on that pre-filter. Then it's going to go through what we call a reverse osmosis membrane. While the pre-filter is collecting things, it has no way of shedding it. They're storing, gathering, and collecting until it's changed. The membrane is able to shed the items it removes off its surface, and that's why we have rinse water going the whole time that RO membrane's in use. Then you have post-carbon filtration. As the water comes out of that storage tank that you mentioned, it goes through the post-filtration, and that's going to get any trace viral or bacteria it'll catch, as well as it kind of polishes and improves the taste of that purified water.
I want to talk a little bit about what you can expect your system to take. You know, of course, with the headlines that Flint, Michigan made and the stories that lead made in that particular distribution system, we deal with lead here in the valley. We deal with a lot of salt here in the valley. We deal with some arsenic in certain localities. I want to talk about what we can expect our equipment to take out and what we can't. When we get back with Dave Crisman from All About Water, a Rosie certified water expert.